We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Showtime! How y'all feel? T.T. Fanta! Motivated, motivated, motivated!
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Welcome back on a Monday edition. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Got your fill. Stayed safe doing it. And back at it now as we rear towards Christmas. Hard to believe. Shane Dennis rolls in. Shane, how was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a good one?
Good, mostly. Yeah, I made it mostly. I made it back home with zero leftovers.
Oh, so did you eat along the way?
No. No, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, in my, I don't want to say haste to get back home because that makes my childhood home sound worse. But
wait a minute. So you didn't have the Tupperware?
Right. I mean, right. None.
Oh.
Zero. No treats, no leftover turkey, no stuffing, no nothing.
So about 6 hours later, you were probably, you had a hankering.
I was.
And no way to scratch the itch.
Very, very disappointed in myself.
Oh, my gosh. That's awful.
Yeah, it was a bit of a tragedy, but powered through it somehow.
good. I'm glad.
I did the WSU women versus Oklahoma basketball game on TV Saturday solo. So that's, I think, part of the reason why I sound and feel the way I do. And it turned it out to be a really exciting game. Wichita State won 88-83.
Wow.
And, yeah, beat Oklahoma. A bunch of people there. There was a kid from OU who's originally from McPherson. She's literally the best 3-point shooter in the country, and she made nine 3-pointers against Wichita State, and the Shockers still won. So I have a feeling, and I didn't go back and listen to it yet. I have a feeling my elevated voice, in addition to being the only voice, cooked me for yesterday. So I really didn't talk to anybody yesterday. But,
well, that's a really exciting win for the Shockers.
It was outstanding.
That's great.
So high level from start to finish. It was really fun to watch. Wichita State shot 51.7%.
Wow.
And made 12 3-pointers. So they elevated their level. And that was an exciting Saturday. And then I got to go home and watch the rest of college football and everything else, and then NFL yesterday.
Well, that's not bad.
So yeah,
that's not bad. That's a pretty good weekend.
So it was a hangover that I didn't have any Thanksgiving food beyond Thursday at 2 o'clock, but I somehow powered through it. So
That's just poor planning.
It really was.
Or having too much to do that you just didn't think about it.
I remembered my kid, brought him back with me. You know, so I thought that was a win. I didn't forget him at my mom's house.
That is good. Nice job.
Yeah.
Well, you? Congratulations are in order.
How's your kale salad or whatever you guys enjoy?
You know what? I had a very nice Thanksgiving. We were hunkered in here. I think we talked about this because we were off, let's see, Thursday.
Yeah.
I woke up to, actually went to bed to about 10 inches of snow on Tuesday, last Tuesday. So we've been dealing with some pretty wintry conditions, but it worked to my advantage. I worked all the way through Wednesday evening, and then was off Thursday and Friday. So was really able to hunker down.
Mm-hmm.
And do things that you do when hunkering down. Catch up on a couple things on the tube. Watch a game here or there that you otherwise might not watch.
Mm-hmm.
Play some cards or this, that, and the other thing. So it ended up being delightful, to be honest with you. It was great. Absolutely good. And then work yesterday in cold and with 19,000 no-shows at Mile High, and watched Drew Locke in a very, I thought, pedestrian debut, but somewhat hopeful because the kids got some energy and some confidence, and keeping my finger on the pulse of what was going on with the Chiefs, obviously, which got off to a great start and took care of business against the Raiders, who isn't it funny how everything kind of falls into place and everyone ends up playing the part that they were meant to play?
Right.
Chiefs are the best team in the division. There was a little bit of momentary, oh, my God, what are we doing now with Oakland tying them? But now all of a sudden the dust has settled. There's plenty of separation. The Chiefs will win the West. The Raiders will not reach the playoffs. And the rest of the AFC West is still pretty much in the wake of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, they just beat down the Raiders. Let's call it what it was. And that
sure did.
That game script went completely the Chiefs' way in that when Juan Thornhill had that interception that he ran back for a touchdown, that made it 21-3. And that, in essence, took Josh Jacobs out of the game because he was what the Raiders had going for them. He was gashing Kansas City on the ground, and any attempt that the Raiders would have had to just play keep away and ground and pound went out the window when they got down 21-0. And Andy Reid does it again. He improved to 18-3, coming off a bye. It's the best winning percentage of any head coach since the bye week was instituted. And they did it with Patrick Mahomes just being an okay quarterback yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He failed to complete 50% of his passes against a four-man rush for the first time in his career. Went 1-for-7 on throws from outside the pocket, and yet they scored 40 points. We've said this a couple of different times, but it's really hard to make snap judgments against teams in the NFL. But did the Raiders even go home and practice? I think they went from MetLife to Kansas City and just rolled it out there and laid down again. You talk about a
schedule. Yeah, that was a pretty pathetic effort.
A schedule
really
that set up beautifully for them while Kansas City was kind of just scuffling along. Bengals at home, which they won, but only by 7. At the Jets, which they didn't score an offensive touchdown. And against the Chiefs, they got a garbage cosmetic touchdown at the end. And it was an LOL moment when they couldn't even kick the extra point. Kansas City blocked it and ran it back for 2 points.
Right.
You talk about rubbing it in their face. And take it on back to Oakland. Raiders week couldn't have gone better for Kansas City. So, and now they go to New England, who looked not good, but
pretty human.
But every other time we've tried to shovel some dirt on Brady and those guys, they look better than ever the next week, but it was interesting to read his lips on the sideline when he was yelling at his receivers. We've got to be more explosive. We're robotic out there. We've got to be explosive, athletic. You know, I'm paraphrasing now.
Yeah, right.
But he was right. That's exactly how they all looked. They all looked really, really pedestrian. And I know we've been down this road before with Brady and his receivers, but he looked pretty bad. And that's a Swiss cheese Texans secondary. And he couldn't complete 50% of his passes because Philip Dorsett couldn't get separation. Jacoby Myers, is that his name? Undrafted free agent. He couldn't get open.
Right.
They're really missing Gronkowski. And James White was about the only thing he had going for him. And he was standing right by his side the whole game. So I get that they are resourceful and they'll regroup and they'll take away what you do best and they'll accentuate their positives and try to exploit your negatives and all that stuff. But, God, they looked like crap last night, and I don't know why.
They had that dominant defense going early in the season. Now, all of a sudden, not quite as dominant. I mean, it's I don't know if it's readable. I don't know. I mean, obviously, they're playing good football teams.
I don't think Brady's been able to keep his offense on the field long enough for them to
– No.
You know, to be at their optimal level, which all defenses need to get off the field.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
And credit the Texans. I mean, they're a good team. But there have been times already that Brady has looked old. And I don't want to say that was the issue last night. But he just hasn't been able to elevate those receivers the way he's done previously in his career to perceived no-name receivers.
Yeah, that last drive was fairly impressive they had to have it.
It was.
That was fairly impressive. But by that time, it was a bridge too far. Did set up an onside kick, which was closer than it probably should have been. But there you go. You know, the thing that's interesting about the East now is the Patriots are just a game ahead of the Bills. Now, they have one in hand.
Yeah.
But they're only one ahead of the Bills. And they get them back in Foxborough. They beat them up in Buffalo. But
they kind of slogged their way through that game, too, by the way.
They did.
And,
yeah, and they the, really
and
did.
The Bills,
that was
the Bills are a pretty good team, as we saw on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
But
yep. They are pretty good. So, and that's the domino you're looking to fall if you're anyone else in the AFC, the Patriots not having home field advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, every year they win the division, every year they're at home. Most of the years they're at home throughout the entire playoffs, and Foxborough in January is not an easy place to play. So, but all of a sudden things are kind of interesting. AFC's kind of interesting.
Well,
right now.
And due in large part, and we need to get to what's on tap, brought to you by Side Pockets. Out of the corner, Kellogg and Tyler. We'll talk CFP here in about 12 minutes from now from Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com. CFP rankings will come out tomorrow night. We'll get Jerry's thoughts on who's going where and the coaching carousel and whatnot. College basketball a little bit later on in the show on this day in sports history. And the reason why the AFC is so fascinating, besides that Patriots loss, was that Lamar Jackson, in the rain, took the Ravens 6 minutes and 23 seconds, bled the clock all the way down to nothing. Justin Tucker kicked a 49-yard field goal, and the Ravens win again, and Lamar Jackson ran for 100 yards again. This was nothing more than the 49ers bottling up Jackson's passing game, being exactly where they were supposed to most of the time, and just not being able to tackle the best guy on the field, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
That's what it came down to.
Yep, that's exactly right.
And otherwise, the 49ers played a pretty damn good game considering the conditions and the opponent. And they were that close to beating them, but couldn't come up with a stop when they needed to. And Lamar Jackson is almost impossible to tackle in space.
How good of a Super Bowl preview is that? I mean, if you're into such prognostication, wouldn't that have been a fun game to watch in good conditions?
Right. Although
it was a pretty good game to watch in crap conditions.
Yeah, but how much differently would both teams play it anyway?
Right.
They both love to run. They both stop the other team. And, yeah, it's, I suppose maybe have a few fewer drop balls or punts that checked up and didn't move.
But you know what it was, Shane? And it was a confirmation of how good both of those teams are. You watch that game and you think, okay, these are two really legitimate football teams. And so intrigued by them moving on now into the postseason. I think Seattle's still going to be interesting. I think the Saints are still going to be interesting.
How about if Seattle wins, the 49ers are the fifth seed?
Yeah. How about that?
At 10-2.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of unfairness to that. We can get to
there
that.
Is.
We can get to that in a second. The Twin Peaks Scenic Views Hotline, 869-1240. And Doug is with us. Good morning, Doug. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Good.
Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. I did as
Same
well.
To
good,
you.
Good.
Yep.
Baltimore, if you notice, they always play ahead. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if anybody, and I know Bruce remembers, but back when we had Barry Word and Christian Okoye, And yeah, sure. We ran the ball. As long as we were ahead, that was a very successful offense, right? So what I want to see is, and I don't know, and Lamar, and I give credit, Baltimore scares the hell out of me. I'm a big Chiefs fan, always have, always will be. But I think the Chiefs have beat Baltimore the last couple of seasons because we got a touchdown lead on them. And it's hard for a team like that to overcome because they're a team that controls the ball. They're a team that wants to run time off the clock. The more time off the clock, the less a potent offense has to be on the field. And I would just like to see them, if they're, let's say, 10 points behind, mm-hmm. can Lamar Jackson actually stand back there without running and pass them to a win? And I'll hang up and listen to it.
Okay, thanks, Doug. Didn't work the first time.
Yeah, it's a fair question. I mean, the Chiefs handled them in a relative fashion. The Browns beat the hell out of them.
Yeah, they did. That was inexplicable. 40 points.
Especially now it's inexplicable. But beyond that, they've done a really nice job in very NFL-type games. In other words, close game against the Steelers, winning in overtime on the road. They slodged through a game with the Bengals. Remember our conversation, the difference between the best and the worst in this league is always measured by a fairly thin line. Yeah. I thought their win in Seattle was probably their most impressive win of the season. They manhandled
and
the Seahawks
it was
on
rainy,
the road.
It was rainy up there that day, too, if I recall.
Yeah, absolutely.
They got into, to Doug's point, I think Doug was the caller, they kind of got into a shootout and won. So they showed it was possible. But, yeah, they like to play from in front. They run –
sure.
210 some yards a game, of course. But on the other hand, there's no guarantee that unless you run your defensive scheme perfectly, that you're going to be able to keep him in the pocket when he drops back to pass anyway.
Well, yeah.
And once he breaks contain, then look out. It's just like running the, you know, an option or a zone read. Good luck tackling him. You know, so he can still get chunk yards with his feet, even if they would be, for example, 10 points behind. But, yeah, that's obviously the recipe to try to beat them. But is there a team that scares you more in the AFC right now than Baltimore?
Oh, my God, no.
I don't think there's
anything
close.
Not that I know of. Not even close is right. Because they pounded the one team that you wondered about, the Patriots. You know, I mean, lest we forget about that.
Yeah.
I mean, the Ravens right now, I think, probably fall into the category of best team in the NFL, don't they? I mean, it isn't. If you were power ranking the teams in the NFL at this very moment, how could you not have the Ravens at number one?
Yeah.
And let's not forget, Lamar Jackson is just shy of a 67% passer now. So while Doug's point is a good one, they're playing from in front because their offense is so dynamic and they're scoring points. He's thrown for 2,532 yards. He's throwing for just shy of 300 yards a game. He's thrown for 25 touchdown passes and has only been intercepted 5 times.
And he lost his first fumble yesterday. So he's not only protecting the ball, but he's being dynamic at the same time. Normally you can't have both.
And he's rushed for in a planned rushing attack, not to mention the stuff that he gets off schedule, for 977 yards.
He's going to shatter Mike Vick's rushing record.
And by the way, Mark Ingram is probably an all-AFC Pro Bowler with 837 yards.
How perfect is he for that offense?
Oh, my God.
Just like bowling ball as part of the zone read, you know, a little thunder and lightning.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
He's fantastic, and that's why he's averaging 5 yards a carry. Who's the other guy?
Gus Edwards?
Gus Edwards.
Yeah.
Hell, he's averaging almost 5 yards a carry, I think.
You know, from what I saw that with that offensive line, you and I could average four because there was a lot of yards before contact, and that maybe the rain had something to do with it, but they imposed their will on you, and, God, they bully people. They play bully ball.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, they do.
And then they got the fastest guy in the world, football-wise, that touches it every play. So.
Well, and the hardest to defend. The hardest guys to defend are the ones that you just don't know what they're going to do when all of a sudden they're off schedule. Now, they run a lot of design stuff, but it's what he does when it's like, okay, you defend the pocket. Now all of a sudden he's creating. That's a totally different level of coverage. Defenses and defensive coordinators hate that. Hate it. You win the initial battle, and then one guy can beat you. And that's what Lamar Jackson does. They've lost two games. You know, you can cut them. They'll bleed.
Yeah, a long time ago,
they're playing awfully good football right now.
Yep.
Awfully good football. Jerry Palm in from CBS Sports. Let's turn our page to college football, the CFP. Next rankings coming out tomorrow. Alabama falls by the wayside. Their disadvantage becomes an advantage for Utah and maybe Oklahoma. We'll talk with the great Jerry Palm coming up in a moment.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.